Hari Om. So in the sixth chapter, last week, we had talked about how to control the mind. And we had talked about the example of a lamp which is still and directed upwards. So the mind also has to be unwavering and directed towards Lord. And keep it stationed in the Lord who is within Bhagwan. And before that, Bhagwan Shri Krishna had completed the topic of the body, how to control the body and how to direct all the activities of the body also in my spiritual path. So today, Bhagwan Shri Krishna will continue about the mind, because the mind is the biggest obstacle in our meditation. Sab kuch man ka khel hi hai. Everything related to meditation pertains to the mind. So we will, today all the shlokas will talk about the quietening of the mind, how to control the mind, focus the mind, and then he starts talking about the benefit of meditation. Why should I meditate? I have to get up early morning and sit still and breathe and do all that. So what will I get? Because our intellect is always profit motive, profit hunting. What will I get? So Bhagwan will tell us. So today we will start with chapter 6, shloka number 20. Chapter 6, shloka number 20. Yatro paramate chittam,
yatro paramate chittam,
niruddham yoga sevaya,
niruddham yoga sevaya,
yatra chaivatmanatmanam,
yatra chaivatmanatmanam,
pashyannatmani tushyati.
Pashyannatmani tushyati.
Together. Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya, yatra chaivatmanatmanam, pashyannatmani tushyati. So yatra means where. Bhagwan wants to use the word yada, when, but sometimes for meter, they interchange. So yatra, so where or when, uparamate chittam, when the mind, chittam is uparamate. Uparati means withdrawn. We'll talk about uparati today. And how is it withdrawn? Niruddham. Completely controlled, yoga sevaya, by the practice of yoga. So what yoga? We will cover that. And yatra there, cha eva atmana atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. So Bhagwan has used the word atma in three different ways. One is atmana, by the mind, or actually atmana here means by the self. By the self, atmanam, seeing the self, pashyan. So by the self, seeing the self, tushyati, is contented in the self, enjoys in the self. So with the self, he sees the self and revels in the self. He's contented in the self. So it's very confusing. Why three different, in Sanskrit, those who know, there are three different vibhaktis. Bhagwan has used the object, the instrument, and then the location. So, uparamate chittam. First of all, what is this yoga? Bhagwan Shri Krishna is talking about niruddham yoga sevaya. Yoga sevaya means the practice of yoga. So yoga here does not mean the physical exercises, you know, pranayama, breathing and all that, or doing different postures with your body. Here yoga is dhyana yoga or meditation. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna uses the word yoga in different chapters to emphasize different things. So in the sixth chapter, yoga is dhyana yoga, the yoga of meditation. In the third chapter, yoga is karma yoga, the path of service. In 12th chapter, yoga is bhakti yoga, the path of bhakti or devotion. And then in 9th and 13th, it is dhyana yoga, the yoga of jnana yoga. Sorry, 9th and 13th is jnana yoga or yoga of meditation. That is the beauty of Sanskrit. The same word can have multiple meanings depending on the context. So Bhagavan says, yatra uparate chittam, one who withdraws the mind. Uparati. Uparati is a very important quality in a spiritual seeker. I think most of you know the sadhan chatushtaya, the four methods of spiritual progress. Very briefly, I will cover four. One is vivek, discrimination between what is right, what is wrong, what is real, what is unreal, what is temporary, what is permanent. That is vivek. Then vairagya is detachment. I have no reduce my interest in the world and worldly objects and spend more time in Bhagwan, thinking of Bhagwan, studying about Bhagwan, praying to this, you know, Lord, and studying the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad. Then there is the third one called Shat Sampatti. In the third, there are six. Shama, Dama. Shama is control of the mind. Dama is control of the body. Uparati is withdrawal, which we will talk about. Uparati, titiksha, forbearance in the world when we have problems. Shraddha is faith in the scriptures, faith in the guru. And samadhan, firm abidance in this knowledge. So these are the qualities we have to develop. And the fourth one is mumukshutvam, intense desire for liberation. Unless we have this intense desire, we won't put that much effort and we won't succeed. But we don't want to put much effort. You know, we want instant realization. You know, like we have instant coffee. So he said, Bhagavan also instantly mil jana chahiye. I should find him right away. And other things in the world, we don't mind giving time. A doctor studying for 25 years and then afterwards also has to study. Engineer, lawyer, even a housewife, you know, she for cooking, it doesn't happen just like that. In the beginning, you will burn some vegetables, some chapatis, and then slowly, you know, we learn. So everything in this world takes time, but we say, I have been studying Bhagavad Gita for 6 months. Jara bhi faida nahi hua. I haven't benefited at all. Or I have been meditating for 3 months. I still, God has not appeared. Where is God? Why is he not coming in my mind? So there we don't want to give time. But if you think about it, in the Puranas, it is said our rishis used to sit for months, years in the Himalayas with snow and heat and cold and rain and all that. And Bhagavan says, you don't need to do all that. In your air-conditioned room, get your comfortable pillow, sit down, read and study, and then meditate, apply. So they have made it so easy for us. Now, this Atma, the self that we are looking for God. God is not only outside, but closest to me. There is a story of the 10th man. Some of you may have heard it, but it's worth repeating. So there was this guru who had 10 disciples, and they were not very smart, but he was teaching them, putting up with them. And one day they wanted to cross the river. It was a shallow river. They could walk and go to the other side, to the temple on the hill where there was going to be a grand puja. They said, Guruji, can we go? He said, yeah, you can go, but make sure you are together and don't make sure nobody gets lost. So they say, okay. So they cross the river. You know, river is not deep. They just walk across. And when they reach the other side, they said, Guruji told us to make sure all 10 are there. So one says, let me count. So he counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, 9, where's the 10th one? He's not counting himself. I only see 9. We lost the 10th one. Second one says, you're a fool. You don't know how to count. I'll count. Same thing, 1, 2, up to 9. He said, there is no 10th man. We lost the 10th man. And they sit down and start crying, all of them. And another wise sadhu passes by and he says, he sees these people crying. So he said, why are you crying? He said, our Guruji told us to go to the temple for puja and we were 10, but now we are only 9. Somebody must have drowned in the river. We can't find it. So this person was wise. He immediately saw there were 10. He says, you stand in one line. So they stand in line. 1, 2, 3, he counts. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And the 10th one, he hits on the head. You are the 10th man. Understand that. So, and they say, oh yeah, we found the 10th man. Found. 10th man was always with them, but they were looking in the wrong place. So here also, we are looking for God outside in the temple, in the mosque. He is there in the temple, mosque, church, everywhere. But the closest he is within me as I. So when they say Pashyan means when this person knows the self is me, I am that, which we also meditated on today. That Atma, that consciousness, I am. And this God, Atma, cannot be known by me as an object. Only the self can know itself. Only Atma can know itself. Only God can know himself. I cannot know Atma. I can become one with Atma. So here, when they use the word Pashyan, it is not seeing Atma or seeing God, but knowing where God is. And who am I? How can I be one with this God? God is everywhere. He is everything. And he is me also. So it's just as a dreamer can never know the waker. Dreamer says, I want to know the waker. No, dreamer was an expression in the waker's mind. In the waker's mind, when I was asleep, I saw this dream. And I am also there in the dream. And I say, you know, where am I? How did I come in this forest? And who is the waker that, you know, no, the dreamer can never know the waker. Dreamer on waking up becomes the waker. It was never far away. It's not that the dreamer was not the waker, but dreamer understands I am waker. So same way, I am that consciousness. I don't become that. I just know I am that. So when he says, I am Brahman, I am that consciousness, I always was, but I did not know. Like all of us right now are an expression of Bhagwan himself, of consciousness, of Lord. So we don't become that, we know we are that. And these masters try to explain to us in the words of the Upanishads. Even there was a question from Kerry about the nature of Brahman. So no words can describe it, but the masters put it in Sanskrit into the Upanishads, which they had heard from the cosmos, to make us aware that God is not somewhere else, not far away. He is your inner true nature. So they explain to us. And just as a cup of water cannot hold the entire ocean, just an empty cup, you put it in the ocean, it will only hold a small part. So same way, words cannot hold Brahman, cannot describe Brahman, but they just take us to the point where the mind merges and becomes one with Brahman. That's why he says tushyati, then he enjoys. And we have to develop a Brahmakar vritti. I mean, vritti means thoughts. So like if I show you an apple, or I tell you think of apple, then you have Appalakar vritti, right? Apple. Or I tell you, think of a candle. Then you get candelakar vritti. Or if you say, think of the book, then we get pustakar vritti. So Brahman cannot be thought of as an object, but we still have to use words. That's what these masters say. So when you hear the word Brahman, don't think of it as God with a form. It is the totality supporting the entire universe, the substratum, and is my true nature. And I realize my oneness with Brahman. So when they say Aham Brahmasmi means Brahman and I are one, Brahman alone is everywhere. So that is called meditation, that is called withdrawing from the world and shifting to Brahman within. Now we'll go to number 21. Sukham atyantikam yattad. Buddhi grahyam atindriyam. Veti yatra na chaivayam. Sthitaschalati tatvatah.
Sthitaschalati tatvatah.
Together. Sukham atyantikam yattad. Buddhi grahyam atindriyam. Veti yatra na chaivayam. Sthitaschalati tatvatah. So what is the benefit of meditation? And what happens to the person who is meditating, who is on this path? So what does he experience? Sukham atyantikam yatta. That joy which is endless, has no anta, has no end. So this joy that a wise person experiences is way beyond anything that you can experience on this earth or in even in heaven. And that sukha, buddhi grahyam, it can be known by the buddhi, but atindriyam, but it is beyond the senses. Eyes cannot see God, ears cannot hear, nose cannot smell, tongue, skin. None of my senses and my organs of action also cannot take me. I cannot touch God. I cannot walk to God. I cannot speak about God. Well, we are trying to speak, but even the speech is limited. So, atindriyam, it is beyond the senses. And having reached that, this person, na chalati tatvatah, then the person does not move from this essence, from this truth, that is the part. So atyantikam sukha means the joy which is endless. So I have never experienced joy which is endless. I have joy for a while, then I get sorrow, then I get little joy, then more sorrow. So what we experience is dukham atyantika. Our life is sorrow, 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 sorrow. In the middle, there are a few glimpses of joy. And then again, sorrow. Because ultimately, you think about it. Okay, you enjoy for a life, whatever you like. After a while, it gets old. Your car gets old. Your house gets old. Your body gets old. And then it gives you all sorrows. And, you know, like that's what they say. Old age is like an old car. It needs constant repair and replacement. I need knee replacement, hip replacement, heart replacement. So constantly the body is basically ends in the while will give you sorrow, but ends in joy and then again sorrow. So how is it to be known? How are we to know that? So this, we already said words cannot describe it. Mind cannot know it. Ishu Upanishad says, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. Masters say when the speech goes to describe God, it comes back. Describe Brahman. God with form you can describe. Okay, Shri Krishna playing the flute, you know, with the cows and gopis and all. Or Lord Shiva sitting in meditation. But to describe Brahman is impossible. So mind cannot know it. So you say, well, but Bhagwan is saying buddhi grahya. Buddhi means mind and intellect can know it. So make up your mind. Can I know it or can I not know it? So they say ordinary mind and intellect cannot know it. Then they say buddhaya sukshmaya. A subtle intellect can know it. So what is a subtle intellect? So they say subtle intellect is sattvic intellect. See, we know the three qualities, tamas, which is laziness, rajas, which is passion, activity, and sattva is purity. So an intellect which is more and more spends time in sattvic activities, like we are sitting together talking about Bhagavad Gita and studying about Brahman, that is a sattvic activity. And our mind hopefully is in sattva. So this sattvic activity of the intellect, when the intellect stays more and more in sattva, that's why Bhagwan spends three chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, or even at least three, 14, 17, and 18, talking about the three gunas, you know, tamas, which is laziness, rajas, passion, and sattva is purity or knowledge. So after studying those or thinking about that, we have to keep our mind in sattva, eat sattvic food, do sattvic activities, you know, meet with sattvic people, read sattvic books, visit sattvic websites. There's so much on the internet now. If you go to Chinmaya channel, there's thousands of talks by all acharyas all over the world. So the more we spend our time in sattva, slowly that intellect merges and becomes pure sattva, which is when it is merged with that God. So the more time you spend, it's like the more time I spend with alcoholics, I'm more likely to become alcoholic, or more time I spend with gamblers, I'm more likely to become a gambler. But the more time I spend in satsang, in company of good people, then that much time, that's more likely to become that. But what we are doing, we are looking for happiness in all the wrong places. I don't know if you remember, but there was a country song a few years back, very popular, very famous. He says, I am looking for love in all the wrong places. So, of course, he was talking about physical love. I don't remember the rest of it, but I remember the first line. So you and I are looking for God in all the wrong places. We are going here and there. Are we looking for happiness in all? God means happiness. We are looking for happiness in all the wrong places. We are looking for it in objects, in money or jewelry or big house or car and objects, or in people. This person I know, that's why I'm happy. If I know a politician, I am happy. Or we are looking for it in situations. You know, I don't have this job. When I get this job, I will be happy. Or when my daughter gets married, I'll be happy. So we have all these things, but they say happiness is you. It is within you. And you don't have to go anywhere else. Look for it within. All the scriptures talk about looking for it within, even today's meditation. And there is a beautiful bhajan called Darshan Do Ghanshyam Anath. Meri akhiyan pyaasi hai. Oh Lord, please come and let me see you. But again, seeing is not physically seeing. Yeah, if you really meditate and do years of tapas, God, if you want, will appear. But ultimately, the main seeing is knowing I am that and experiencing God's presence. That's what Gurudev says. It is a subjective experience. It's not an object that, you know, Krishna Bhagwan or Vishnu or Shiva. It is they will manifest in my heart. That is called darshan though. And once who does that, then his mind becomes very peaceful, very calm, because he's all the time connected with God. And God is all the good qualities, peace, kindness, love, compassion, goodness. And it is swadhina dukkha, sukha, not paradhina sukha. It is swadhina. Swadhin means I have it myself. Paradhin means I depend on something else or somebody else to give me happiness. That is called paradhina sukha. And what I get from others can go away. Today, somebody loves me. After a year, he will say, I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce. Or, you know, so all these outside joys will come and go. But once you have experienced the joy within, then you will never lose it. And that is can only be found in the Lord. There's a very beautiful story. Ram and Sitaji, after they had come back from the forest, they were sleeping. And at 4 a.m., Tulsidas ji came. And loudly he sang, Bhiksham Dehi Parvati. So the guards are wondering, you know, and they know Tulsidas ji is a very noble soul. Why is he asking for Bhiksha at 4 a.m.? And Ramji and Sitaji also heard it, you know, heard him. So Ramchandra ji doesn't say, oh, 4 baje aaya, isko bhej do, give him some food and send him, you know. Instead of told the guards or the cook, you know, in the kitchen, give him some food. Why is he waking? No. He says, Atithi Devo Bhava, a guest is like God. So both of them, Ramji and Sitaji, wake up and Tulsidas ji saying, Bhiksham Dehi, loudly. So he says, Tulsidas ji, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for Bhiksha. I am hungry. He said, 4 a.m.? Yeah, I am hungry. I didn't eat last night. So he says, yeah, but Tulsidas ji, I have established so many, you know, kitchens and, you know, food distribution. You could have gone to any of those which are open 24 hours. You could go and eat there. Why are you coming here at 4 a.m. looking for Bhiksha? He says, God, what I'm hungry for, the kitchens cannot give me. All the food banks, you know, you may have established, but they can't give me what I am looking. Only you can give me that. So he understood. He says, that's what Tulsidas ji wants. So he says, okay, so what do you want? He says, God, I only want you. I'm not looking for food, not looking for things. I want you and always be in my heart. May I never forget you. May I never lose you. May I never deviate from my bhakti for you. Even no matter how many lifetimes I have to undergo birth, I don't care. But I need you always in my heart. And Bhagwan understands. So he blesses him. He says, don't worry. I am in your heart. I was in your heart. And always I'll be in your heart. Whenever you want to think of about me, just close your eyes and I will appear within. So that is the devotee, glory of a bhakta, of a devotee, that his connection with God, his or her connection is God is eternal. It's not only this lifetime or not only this, but even again in Mukunda Mala, he says, oh Bhagwan, I don't care how many births I have. I don't care whether I go to heaven or hell or come back to earth, I don't care. But please make sure I never forget you. May my bhakti be towards you. And that is the essence of the bhakti. That's what he says. Stitash chalati tatvataha. One who is established in this bhakti. So our bhakti is like what? Okay, Bhagwan gave me something and my life is good. Oh, thank you, Bhagwan. Tomorrow I ask Bhagwan, I want this. And Bhagwan didn't give. Oh, what happened now? How come? Last week you gave me, now you... So we think Bhagwan is like an ATM. You know, I press the, put the card in and the money comes out. So I go to pray and it is a business. You know, I prayed to you. I offered you a coconut. Now make sure my son gets a good job. The coconut is worth what? $1, $2. And then you're asking for a job for $500,000 for... So what we do, we deal with God as a business. Of course, when if I'm sick or my child is sick, you can talk to God. But mainly one should approach God with the idea that may I always be with you, may I never lose you, and may my mind always be in you. So that is and once the person is established in this joy, in this truth, then that joy never ends. Sukham adhyantikam yattat. They say even the joy of a wise person is immeasurable. Nothing in the world can equal that. So that is the benefit of this meditation. And intellect can know it, but the intellect has to be sattvic intellect. And ultimately, intellect cannot know it as an object. When you meditate, then the intellect merges into that Atma, the self. So there is no difference between meditator, meditating, and meditated. So the one who I am meditating on, that is me. That is the final gain of this devotee. So here we see what is the benefit of meditation in 21. In 22, Bhagwan is giving even more strong language of why this spiritual path helps us, meditation and this abidance in the truth. And this 22nd shloka is often quoted by Swamijis when they give their talks. So we'll spend a little time talking about it. 22, chapter 6, number 22. Yam labdhva cha param labham.
Yam labdhva cha param labham.
Manyate nadikam tatah.
Manyate nadikam tatah.
Yasmin stito na dukkhena.
Yasmin stito na dukkhena.
Gurunapi vichalyate.
Gurunapi vichalyate.
Together. Yam labdhva cha param labham. Manyate nadikam tatah. Yasmin stito na dukkhena. Gurunapi vichalyate. So yam labham. Yam means that, labha means that gain. What is that gain? We have talked about it. It is that experiencing that continuous joy of God's presence. What great masters like Tulsidas Ji, Mirabai, and then again Puja Gurudev Swami, Chinmayananda, Shankaracharya Ji, all the great masters, what they have experienced. That labham, when I also experience, or Bhagwan Krishna says, when you experience, or this wise person experiences this joy. Having gotten it, labdhva, having experienced, got it, cha aparam labham. Aparam means the gain which is, there is nothing beyond that, nothing greater than that, nothing exceeding that. So aparam, that greatest gain, which is beyond all gains. There is nothing beyond it. And once this wise person experiences this joy, the more you, that's why they say you should read stories of saints. Because in the saints' life, you see how they enjoy that presence of God and how much effort they put. And no matter how much the world gives them, we will talk about that in the next line of this shloka. So having experienced that, he thinks there is nothing greater. See, nadikam tatah, and yasmin stito, and establishing in that wisdom, in that knowledge, dukhena guru napi vichalyate. The guru means heavy. Guru, of course, means the teacher, but the word guru comes from heavy. So guru, dukkha. So even the heaviest sorrow, na vichalyate, does not get disturbed, does not get affected, no matter what sorrows come to this individual. He does not get. So it says this is the greatest gain of this world. Nothing more you can gain than this. But our gain is very, we think very low, very simple. Say, what is the most powerful country in the world? US. Which person has the most power president of US. We see that, you know, what is how that power is being used. So the point is that our idea of greatest is Hawaii. You know, I go to Hawaii, spend 2 weeks, just lie down on the beach, eat, drink, and don't do anything else, come back. So that is our idea of joy. Or at the most, our idea of joy is heaven. You know, after dying, I will go to heaven. Yeah, what will you do in heaven? Oh, I will have all the fun. They say, what kind of fun? Well, in heaven, you know, you can eat as much as you want. You never gain weight. All the varieties of food. You want Mexican, Italian, Chinese. Everything is there. Whatever you want. Okay, then drinks. You know, I can have all the soft drinks. I can have alcohol, whatever my interest is. And then entertainment. There are always beautiful girls dancing. And there are shows going on. Golfer says, I can play golf 24 hours a day. There is no day, there is no night. It is always 72 degrees. And there was this story, I might have told it, but I think it's worth repeating. So there were these two men who loved cricket, or you can say golf. And whole, they were good friends. Day and night, they used to talk sports, watch sports on the TV, go to all the games. So when they were getting old, they said, you know, I hope there will be golf in, I mean, not golf, baseball or cricket. Will there be in heaven? They say, whoever dies should come and tell the other guy, you know. So let's say cricket, because mostly we are Indian, so cricket. So this one person dies and the other guy is waiting. A week later, he hears some noise. So he said, is that you, Ramesh? He said, yeah, it's me, Suresh, you know. He says, where are you? He says, I'm in heaven. He says, wow, I'm so happy you are in heaven. Do they have cricket in heaven? Yes, it is perfect weather, 72 degrees, not much sun, perfect. And, you know, the pitch is always perfect. And you can play with great bowlers like Munkard and Gilchrist and Hall. And then great batsmen are there. Don Bradman is there. You can play with them. Wow, that's so good. He says, yeah, but I have good news and bad news. He says, what is good news? He said, good news is I told you there is beautiful cricket in heaven. You can play whenever you want and you can play with the best cricketers in the world. He says, what is the bad news? He says, bad news I have is that they have a list, you know, of who is playing next week and you are bowling next week. So that is my bad news. So our idea is maximum is heaven. But the Taittiriya Upanishad says that a person who has reached that state of enlightenment, that state of wisdom, he says even a million times of heaven cannot reach the joy that he has or she has experienced. What these realized masters have experienced, they say that none of the words can describe it, none of the books can describe it. The Upanishads try, and the rishis do that because they want us to also follow that path. But it is something that language cannot describe. You know, they say like whatever joy you can experience, 100 times that is the joy of Gandharva Loka, then Pitru Loka is 100 times, and 100 times is heaven, and 100 times. Up to Brahma Loka, even the joy of Brahmaji cannot equal the joy of this man of wisdom. But we say, I can't do it. It's too hard. It's too hard. It's too difficult. You know, I don't think in this life, maybe 3 lifetimes from now. So it's like I ask you, are you a man or a woman? You said, I don't know now, but in 3 lifetimes, I can tell you whether I'm a man or a woman. No, you don't need that. You know it right away. So you are that consciousness. The Mahatmas are telling us, you are that. You don't have to say, in 3 lifetimes, I'll find out I am that. I am already that. I have to stay with that understanding that God and I are one. God is with me at all times, like Tulsidas ji, and never deviate from that thought. So that is the idea. But we say, I can't do it. It's too difficult. You know, it's too hard. So the example they give, you know, oh, I can't do it, is suppose a boy loves a girl and he loves her so much. And parents tell him, you need to, you know, we want you to get married. He says, I only want to marry her. Say, but you know, maybe she doesn't want to marry. I don't care. If I don't marry her, I won't marry anybody. I only want her and her alone, not nobody else. They say, well, okay, now they find out he got a job offer in a different city. So are you going to take that? No, I'm not going to take the job. I'm going to stay in this city and keep in touch with this girl so I can marry her. So that and that alone is his goal, where he's ready to give up all other opportunities to be with this girl of his dreams. So same way, that mumukshutvam, I should have that intense desire for liberation, where I'm ready to give up everything for this joy. And they say that this joy, the worldly joy can fluctuate, can go away. Like suppose I marry this girl. Okay, I'm very happy for a while. Then now I need a house. You know, we need to buy a house. So I have to struggle. Then we get a kid. Now we need another room for the child. I need to get a crib. I need to food, all those. So then suddenly now the girl becomes secondary. Now my goal is take care of my child, save for his education, college, this, that. So any joy in the world eventually will become less, and other things will take importance. So now I'm not so much thinking about the girl, which I was ready to do everything. Now I'm thinking about my son or my daughter. I'll do everything for her, or, you know, or my career or job. So in this world, joys come and go, situations come and go. So what we are looking for is permanent joy. You know, if somebody asks you, you want temporary joy or permanent, you say, I want permanent joy. I don't want temporary, and then it will go away. Like you go to a doctor and he says, I have this medicine that will make you better for a while, but then the illness will come back. You say, iska kya fayda? What is the use of? I want medicine that will take away this illness. I don't want again and again to come back to you and suffer. So you want something which is permanent cure. He said, do you have a permanent cure for my illness? That's what I want. So same way, we want a permanent cure for this bhavasagar, this cycle of birth and death, you know, birth and death, birth. I'm done with that, Bhagwan. I'm tired of that. I don't want to come another life and then stay 9 months in the mother's womb, and then, you know, diaper training and toilet, and then I'm lying in, you know, poop, and mother is busy, doesn't have time to change me, and I'm crying and she doesn't know, and she puts milk in my mouth, and I say, I'm crying because I'm in poop, not I don't want more milk, but she's busy with her friend on the phone. So he says, isko bhook lag. So I don't want to go through that again, Bhagwan. This is the end. Do not make me. So how can we not go beyond the cycle of birth and death? By becoming one with God. And that is the only way, by realizing my oneness. Then and then alone you go through this freedom from Bhavasagar. They say Bhavasagar means this ocean of being. Ocean of the world is called Bhavasagar, where again and again I come and go, come and go. I do not want that. I want freedom. And that's why they say, you are my boat. You know, there is a Bhagwan meri naiya us paar laga len. Oh, Bhagwan, you are the boatman. Take me across this ocean. And then there is a beautiful bhajan. Payo ji maine Ram ratan dhan payo. He says, I have experienced the jewel of Ramchandra ji's name. And there is nothing more I want. Why? Because that is permanent. Kharche na khute vako, chor na lute, din din badhat savayo. He says, or she says, it is Mirabai, she says, this joy I have experienced, the more I use it, it increases. See, anything in the world, if you use it, it will get less, it will get old. But this one, the more I remember Ram's name, the more it grows. The more I share it with others, that's why she composed all these bhajans. Even today, several hundred years after she passed, we are still singing her bhajans. So she says, I'm sharing this joy with all of you. You know, kharche na khute vako, chor na lute. And this wealth that I have, no thief can take it. If I have a diamond or if I have an emerald or a pearl, yeah, somebody can steal it. But this Ramchandraji's name, no one can take from me. So that is what we need to learn and keep. That's why listening to such bhajans, and not only listening for the tune and music, but go deep into the words, not only of the bhajans, but even of the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, whatever we are listening. Don't just listen superficially, but make it part of your life. That's why somebody told Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, I have gone through Bhagavad Gita 3 times. And he looked at him and said, has Bhagavad Gita gone through you? See, that you have to understand. So that's why we need a guru. That's why we need masters. And we have Swami Chinmayananda and then his other students, Swami Tejomayanandaji, Swami Ishwaranandaji. And in April, we are blessed. On April 1st and 2nd, we'll have Swami Siddhananji. And he does beautiful bhajans. And then from April 6, 7, 8, 9, we'll have Swami Ishwaranandaji talking upon Panchamrit, the 5 most important shlokas in the Bhagavad Gita, which Swami Tejomayanandaji and Swarupanandaji have selected. So he will tell us why these 5 shlokas are very important. So he will be talking. So it is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Uddhared Atmanatmanam, lift yourself by yourself, and so on. Very, very beautiful. So that's why we need Guru, you know, to guide us and to take us across this ocean. And we say, oh, I'm getting old, you know, my body is down and my mind is, I don't remember. It's okay. Body will go down. Mind will forget. Just remember, as long as it remembers God, have your mala and keep doing the japa, then old age will not affect this person. Because he will know that I am not this body. Even when the body perishes, I don't die. I don't perish. That's why Bhagwan in the 2nd chapter, when Arjuna said that all these people will perish. So Bhagwan says, Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu, dhruvo janma mritasya cha. As Atma, none of us die. You don't die, I don't die. But even if you think I am this body, and all of them are all the body, then it's the nature of body to perish. Because body is not permanent. It is perishing. It is already going down. It is getting older and older. My back hurts and I can't walk. And all these things are happening. But that is the nature of the body. The body will perish. And if you think it is the body, then whatever is born has to perish. So again, there is no jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu dhruvo janma mritasya cha. Tasmad pariharyate natvam shochitum arhasi. Then why are you mourning? If you say you are Atma, then you are imperishable. You will never die. If you say you are body, then body is meant to die. So then there is no reason to be sorrowful. Bhagwan is explaining to us. And as we said, this gain of self-realization is the highest gain. Nothing better than that, nothing higher than that. And this kind of person, even the greatest sorrows, gurunapi, gurun means the heaviest sorrows, cannot disturb this person. And we see in the lives of saints, they had so many problems, but their mind was always connected with God. And guru, the word means heavy, but guru means teacher. And these gurus are heavy on us. They don't sugarcoat it. You know, in the scriptures, Bhagwan tells it clearly, or Swami Chinmayananda, or Ved Vyasji, or Shankaracharya. They tell us the truth as it is, with no sugarcoating, that this is life and this is death. And this is what will happen. So be grateful to these masters who have accumulated this knowledge, collected it for thousands of years, and have passed it on to us. So that's why he says, one who stays in that, even the greatest sorrow cannot disturb him. So we can see that this person who experiences the joy is always blissful, and that joy can be experienced by the subtle intellect, and it is the greatest gain of all. So I'll end here. We have quite a bit of time. We have about 15 minutes. So please feel free to ask questions. Oh, what happened? It went away. I think I pressed the wrong button. Huh? It's not on my computer. Maybe. Oh, there, okay. Can you put it on gallery? Okay, I got it. Okay, we are on gallery view. So on the internet, on the Zoom, if somebody has questions, or in person, or Krishna, if you would like to speak a few words. And then in the meantime, people can think of their questions. Can do so.
Hari Om, this is Krishna. Thank you, Anilji. Thank you, all sadhakas. So, in chapter 6, sloka 20, what I learned today is when my mind is controlled by meditation, it becomes still and rests in the self. So one experiences the self by the self itself. So that is the sloka 21st. Once I attain this state, then we experience supreme joy beyond the senses by with the help of what Anilji mentioned, the sukshma intellect. And then never depart from the truth. So after that, the 22nd is, so once I am in this state, this realized state, then I find that there's nothing greater than this joy. And also I am, or we are, going to be still even in midst of the greatest sorrows. So that's what I learned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else has any questions? Either in the audience here or on Zoom? Just unmute and can ask. Or anybody has any comments who would like to add anything? Kerry, you have?
No. Okay. Can I have one more question?
Yeah, sure.
So,
the question is, you mentioned regarding, how do we attain, or how to be in this subtle intellect, is by being sattvic, meaning that being in a sattvic environment, sattvic, reading scriptures, reading Bhagavad Gita, being on the web. So in the house, having a sattvic, say for example, I have two children right now, 6 years they were and 7. What kind of influence, because they don't, probably they might have their own individual sanskaras, but still when I am doing that in the house, and when I'm creating a sattvic atmosphere in the house,
right,
what kind of influence does that, or how does it pertain to this towards children?
Yeah, I think children will do what you are doing, not what you are saying. You may tell them, oh, you need to, you know, do this sattvic activity, eat sattvic food, do something. But when they see you doing it regularly, you are doing prayers in the house, doing pujas in the house, buy them books, you know, or these, you know, which have stories of gods and goddesses when they are younger. When they get older, then accordingly you can, you know, increase their level of. But at 6, 7, probably just spending more time with them and teaching them about God, and which is also what we do in Bal Vihar, which Gurudev started that. So making the house a sattvic atmosphere and avoiding, you know, too much violence, you know, encouraging them to be productive, you know, share in society, do charity, giving them money, okay, to give it to maybe in your school if there is some worthwhile project, you know, or in an orphanage, or like when we do for, you know, in Diwali for Jemison Center. So teaching them to donate and then teaching them to stay. The more you immerse yourself in sattvic knowledge, more the children will also get that. And ultimately, as we said, when the mind is always in sattva, then slowly, slowly it merges into that Atma, the self. And that is called knowing. Mind cannot know it, but mind merges. So the more sattva we practice, more the children will learn and more the house will become more peaceful. So I think that is my opinion.
So active versus passive, right? So passively, like there's one thing which you mentioned before, if I remember correct, is there's no yardstick to measure the child's progress in the spirituality side. It might, you know, it's not like how we measure
height,
mathematics or
right,
science or grades or anything like that. There's nothing like that. So when this flower, when this flowers, when this blossoms, how it blossoms. So that is something unique to each person.
Right.
But the whole point for me right now is I have to be mindful, aware, be as much sattvic as possible in the home. Because as you mentioned, they are my 24/7 recorders.
Mm.
So
true.
They are observing me, what I'm doing, not what I'm saying. I saw that so many times. So, yeah, I think, you know, probably that.
Right.
Like how you also, your mother took.
Yes.
To Chinmayananda's in Bombay.
Right.
The stadium. So, at that time, probably you might not even know that you would be doing this.
I had no idea, actually.
So,
I even meditated with Swami Chinmayananda on one occasion when he was doing sixth chapter. So I think the answer is that there is a flower tree or a flower, you know, blossom just blooming, the tree. And one, you put good fertilizer and water and take very good care. And the neighbor, he also has the same flowers, but he doesn't bother to put any food or any, you know, water and all. Then that plant won't grow well and this one will. So the more you put effort, the more the flower will bloom. And same with children are like little flowers. So if we put effort, the result will definitely come. That, you know, I'm sure of. Thank you for a good question. Anything else? Yeah, Gary, you have a question?
You know, I do, and this is maybe not a very appropriate question. I almost hate to ask you this, but I was listening to someone on the internet the other day, and this just came to my mind. You know, none of us is perfect. I mean, we all as best we try, we're not always perfect in taking care of our bodies and our minds. And someone told said that Swami Chinmayananda was addicted to snuff. Is that true? It's been bothering me ever since.
No, see, originally, maybe earlier in his youth, but then he gave up that habit. He was not with it. Also, he had allergies, so maybe he's using something else. No, he wasn't using snuff in his later years.
You haven't heard that. Okay. Well, that's
Yeah.
good. I'm glad he didn't have that addiction. Even if he did, it wouldn't really matter.
Thank you.
Thank
That's
you.
good. Anything else anybody has? Okay, we'll end today. We'll continue next week. Three more shlokas about the benefit of the spiritual path and the benefit of meditation. So please listen, read this commentary. If you have Swami Chinmayananda's commentary, read it again carefully. And then the knowledge becomes firm. Just by listening once is not enough. You have to contemplate upon it and read it again and again. So thank you all. My humble pranams to all of you. Because of you, I am able to study this text. So I'm extremely grateful.